Our Bible study tonight is out of Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30, following specific examples of godly servanthood. Paul's extensive section in Philippians chapter 2, 1 to 18, on teaching on practicing the lofty calling of godly servanthood is especially easy to comprehend if real-life examples of those truths are supplied. It's one thing to give theology, but it's another thing to apply it to life. And so tonight we're looking at the applications of Paul's marvelous theology on godly servanthood, and it's quite a remarkable application. He talks about two men, Timothy and Epaphroditus. Timothy was his co-worker, and Epaphroditus was actually from the church at Philippi, but he had been sent by the Philippians to minister to Paul. And so Paul talks about both of these men. He gave such examples of godly servanthood in the actions of Timothy and Epaphroditus in verses 19 through 30. I'd like to read first about Timothy in verses 19 to 24. We'll look at that, and then later we'll look at verses 25 to 30 of Epaphroditus. First of all, Timothy, verse 19 of Philippians chapter 2. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus, actually that's very close to the Greek, that would be Timothy that we know, shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father he has served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Okay, Paul offered us Philippian readers the genuine example of godly servanthood in Timothy. Having given an extensive teaching on godly servanthood in Philippians 2, 1-18, Paul revealed he was about to send Timothy to visit them that he might report back to Paul about their welfare. Now, the reason Timothy would relate the reality of their situation so well was based on the quality of his servanthood for fellow believers, a fact that Paul detailed for his Philippian readers in verses 20 to 23. Paul claimed that Timothy was unlike any other co-worker with him, for Timothy had Paul's heart. The word like-minded, if you have a King James Version, is from the Greek word isopsukon, and psukon is the Greek word for soul. Isa is one, or one soul. We have one soul. Now, there's a one viewpoint. They had the same attitude, the same outlook, or same soul or mind. And then to explain, Paul added that Timothy genuinely, if you have the King James Version, it's naturally, but it's the Greek word nasios, cared for his readers. And the meaning of the King James naturally is actually genuinely. Timothy had a genuine care for these people. Now, how did Paul define that genuine care? It's very interesting how he defined it. Verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. When someone has a genuine care for someone else, his concern is to do what Jesus Christ wants done for that person. Whether it makes the individual himself look good or not is irrelevant. He's concerned about the welfare of that other person. If you ever have in life a friend who will honestly tell you something, even if it's a criticism, but if they'll level with you and be honest with you, that is a very invaluable friend. And that's the kind of friend Timothy was. Timothy was a gentleman. We find this from the pastoral epistles in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. He was a gentleman. But he leveled with people. You know, if they needed to know reality, he told them. And he wasn't concerned, even if it cost him what people might think of him or not. It was irrelevant. He was concerned about the welfare of these people with the Lord. And Paul says that's why he's so invaluable. If I send him to you, and he reports back to me, he's going to give me exactly what your state is. I know that. And that's why he was a man who was knit with the soul of Paul. Also, in line with his submission to Jesus Christ, Timothy heeded Paul as a son with a father, showing a capacity to subject his own interests to the interests of godly overseers over him and the Lord. Verse 22, but you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. Incidentally, there is a tremendous correlation between a believer's capacity to submit to those who are over him in the Lord, whether it's a parent, whether it's a husband, whether it's a church leader and so forth, and that capacity to submit to the Lord. There's a tremendous correlation between the two. I remember my father, when he was raising us, he told my mother, he said, "My sons have got to learn to obey me, because if they don't obey me, they won't know how to obey God. They've got to learn from me." And he was right. He was right on with that. Timothy had a capacity to put the interests of Christ above his own interests. And this showed up in his capacity to follow what Paul told him exactly. He did what Paul told him to do. So, that's a measure of a person who's serving the Lord. How are they following other people that are around them? People who are over them, over in the Lord. For these reasons, Paul hoped to send Timothy soon to his readers, once he knew of the court ruling in his case, so that Timothy might give the Philippians news about Paul, and that Timothy could minister to them in a way that promoted Christ's interests above those of Timothy himself. This is why he wrote in verse 23 and 24, "Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly unto you." So that's the first example. It's a man who put the interests of Christ above his own interests, and the interests of the Apostle Paul, who was over him, above his own interests, demonstrating that he really had a good servant attitude. Now, there's another side of the coin of Christian service and a godly servanthood, and that's in Epaphroditus. Verse 25 through 30, let me read those verses. "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness, because that you had heard that he had been ill. For indeed he was ill close to death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be less the sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in high reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his own life, to supply your lack of service towards me." Paul offered his Philippian readers the genuine example of godly servanthood in Epaphroditus. Now, Epaphroditus showed a different side of the coin of godly servanthood than did Timothy. Very interesting. Epaphroditus had come to Paul from his Philippian readers to minister in their behalf to the Apostle Paul's needs in his imprisonment. And Paul hoped to send him back soon to Philippi, for Epaphroditus longed to return to Paul's readers out of concern that they had for him. Now, what's interesting is Paul told how Epaphroditus had been upset by concern of the Philippians for him upon their hearing that he had been ill, even though his illness had been life-threatening. I don't know if you picked that up or not. Verse 26, "He was full of heaviness because that you had heard that he had been ill." And then Paul explains in verse 27 that he had been ill to the point of death. When was the last time that you ever heard of a Christian who had a life-threatening illness who was concerned about how other people were concerned about him? Most of the time, if you have a life-threatening illness, you're concerned about your own illness. This man was more concerned about how his illness was bothering other Christians than the fact that he himself stood in danger of losing his own life. That's a selflessness that I don't know about. That's beyond me. Maybe God in His grace will take me through there someday and cause me to grow in my faith. This was a remarkable man. This man had a tremendous love for others, and it was a self-sacrificing love. Tremendous. Nevertheless, God had mercifully healed Epaphroditus, not only to comfort the Philippian believers, but to make life easier for Paul, who might otherwise be overcome with sorrow, were Epaphroditus to have died, especially in view of Paul's additional burdens of imprisonment and a court case with a possibility of his own martyrdom. In verse 27, "For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." So, Paul was sending Epaphroditus back with his epistle to his Philippian readers, and he hoped the arrival of Epaphroditus back at Philippi would cause Paul's readers to be joyful and to leave him with less grief. That's why he wrote in verse 28, "I sent him therefore the more anxiously, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, that I may be the less sorrowful." And verse 29, obviously, he pointed out that his Philippian readers should accept Epaphroditus not only with joy, but with honor, for he had risked his very life for the cause of the ministry of Christ as the Philippian church's messenger to minister to Paul's needs. Now, he might have picked up an infection or something. We don't know. When Paul was in a prison life in those days was not really that healthy, not really that good. Or he might have gotten a cold there. Often the prisons were kind of dank and so forth. He might have gotten a serious cold. He might have even gotten a case of pneumonia. We don't know. But he got a life-threatening illness. And he was more concerned about other people and what they were concerned about with him than he was even about himself. There's a tremendous lesson here. Typified in Timothy and Epaphroditus, godly servanthood includes putting God's interests and those of God's servants over us, with the spiritual welfare of other believers above our own interests and even our lives. So may we put the interests of God, His servants over us in the Lord, along with the edification of others above our own interests and earthly lives, like Timothy and Epaphroditus did, that we might serve as good servants of the Lord. Believe it or not, we had an illustration of this occur this past week. If you came into the worship service this morning, you probably noticed that the lawn out in front was fairly clean of leaves. Now, if you notice carefully, you might have seen that there was the trackings there of the lawnmower. And I remember thinking, why did Dan bother mowing the lawn? The lawn hasn't been growing for a while. Well, I learned from Mike Terwilliger after the worship service this morning, that his grandson, Jason Reinflesh, had seen that there were a lot of leaves out there, and he knew that the particular mower that we got from Dave Slate's father here, was a mower that picks up leaves. So he says, why don't I just run the mower? Very smart. Just run the mower over those leaves and pick them up. That way I can get them out of here. I wish I'd thought of that the other day. Instead, I came out with a rake and I was picking them up and putting them in a big basket and hauling it back there. I should have been smart like Jason and just mowed. But anyway, he mowed and picked those leaves up. What I didn't know is that he mowed when it was raining. Now, how many kids have you known who are volunteer who will go out there and mow when it's raining? That's what Jason did. So I was so moved by that this afternoon when I went home. I wrote a thank you note to Jason. We're going to get it in the mail tomorrow and get it out to him. Now, I could multiply this type of service that is going on throughout our church in a number of ways. We have other people who have demonstrated tremendous submission to the leadership of the board and following their leadership. We have Christians who have been very self-sacrificing, who have been really concerned about the welfare of others. I see evidences of this throughout the body. I don't want to mention any more. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But God is really working, and I'm very encouraged to see that we've got people who have attained a measure of godly servanthood within our body. And as this continues to spread and becomes endemic throughout the church, it'll create even more unity, even greater fellowship within the body, and it's something I'm looking forward to. But I'm kind of anxious myself and looking forward to the fact that God might build in my own life. I would love to get to the point of Epaphroditus, who was more concerned about how other people were concerned about him than he was about his own state that was creating the concern. I think that would be great to get to that point. That's the service. That's the mentality that God has for us. And God help us to get to that point. I have yet to meet a person who has an attitude of servanthood who's unhappy. You ever seen a person who's really a good servant of the Lord? They're never happy. They're thrilled. They're thrilled to serve the Lord because they have their priorities right and the Lord is giving them happiness. So this is a very high road of service that the Lord wants us to attain. And we will be happy and we will be fulfilled and we will be pleasing to our Lord when we get to this point if we're not there already.